21 minutes before 9 o'clock on this Friday morning, I'm Alec Creighton. Time for this edition of Northeast Colorado Talks. And on the line with us from Denver, we have State Representative Dusty Johnson. Good morning. We appreciate your joining us this morning.
Yeah, good morning and happy Friday before a three-day weekend.
We've got a holiday weekend, and I guess the legislature will observe that holiday as well. So you're a newly elected, newly sworn in representative. How are things starting in this year's session?
They're starting strong. We're seeing sessions start off even faster than it has sessions prior. And I know we say that every session, and then we seem to outdo ourselves, and it just gets faster.
So you were telling me some number of bills that are already in the hopper or whatever the proper terminology is there. I guess a secondary question is, will action actually be taken on these, even though you've got a lot of things already going?
Yes. Yeah, we had over 130 bills introduced just last week alone. We've seen more introduced this year. That just means they've been read for the first time in either the Senate or the House chamber. Per our state constitution, they have to be read on the floor, and they're guaranteed that, and then they're guaranteed to be in committee. We have seen committees already take place. I've had my first committee in Health and Human Services, where we voted on four bills, which we will then be voting on seconds today. So we are taking action already.
All right. And so if we have particular bills we're interested in or want to follow the progress, how does an average citizen do that?
Yeah, the easiest way is if you go to leg.colorado.gov, you can pull up all of the bills that have been introduced. You can pull up all of the contact information for all 100 members. Seeing what they have either prime sponsored, meaning it's their main bill, or that they've co-sponsored because they support it. They're just not carrying the bill originally.
Okay. So, and we can look up by subject or bill number or that sort of thing, I'm guessing. And
yes.
You were telling me there's something called the SMART Act. Is that an acronym? And what is that?
Yeah, so SMART Acts are, it is an acronym. We do it in every single committee with every single department. That it gives the chance to the legislators to ask questions of the departments, and the departments have to respond. So it gears us up as we're getting ready to see what bills are coming forth. This year it's especially important because we need to see where they are identifying that they can make cuts within their departments financially, because we do have a deficit and we need to balance the budget. So it's nice if they are the ones choosing what they can go without or reorganize before JBC and the appropriations process takes place, and then we do final cuts.
All right, and the JBC is the Joint Budget Committee, and that's kind of where the rubber meets the road decision-making-wise in the legislature for the budget questions. Am I right about that?
Yes, they have the most authority on it. Now, it still has to go to both chambers for a vote. And I forgot to mention, yeah, the SMART acronym is the State Measurement for Accountable, Responsive, and Transparent Government Action. So that's where we're asking the questions. JBC does have most of the power for that, and then it's up to the body of the whole. It's called the Committee of the Whole or the COW. I love that acronym. Best acronym in government is the COW, and then we get a vote both in the Senate and the House.
All right. You know, I've heard of Committee of the Whole, but I haven't heard that acronym before. So that's good. Agriculture related.
It is. We need to get as many agricultural hints and references and talking points that we can here, because it is so far removed.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and one of the things that we'll probably talk to you a lot about when we talk to you during the session is being a rural representative and how that works in a largely metro-dominated state.
It is. These first 2 weeks have been crucial. The training period's been crucial to building relationships across the aisle and within my own party with those who are metro members, because they're so focused, as they should be, they've been elected to do this, they're so focused on their metro highly populated needs that unfortunately ag and rural communities take a back burner and often gets forgotten about. So that's something I'm going to be loud on and my biggest fight in this, not only this session, but my whole time here elected, is to make sure that voice is being heard and explaining why it's important that it's heard.
So that'll take place on a lot of different fronts. What bills are you sponsoring in this session? Let's talk about those, and then we'll talk about some of your committee assignments as well.
Yeah, and my first bill has actually been introduced. It is House Bill 25-1014 to increase efficiency in the Department of Water Resource processes. Essentially, this will be eliminating unnecessary permitting requirements, reducing fees, and streamlining the work process. One of the ways to streamline the water rights abandonment process is it is every 10 years on the cycle, but we have a ton of them that they have to look through, so we're splitting it into two groups. Group A will be heard on the years ending in 5. Group B will be ending on years that end in 0. And so that way it's just going to help make it more efficient because they're going to have less of them to look at every 5 years. So that is one of them. Water is huge, and so anything we can help with this, especially with the well permitting process. I'm also doing a healthcare timelines bill. So I strongly believe that patients need to be first in when we're talking about healthcare. And they need to know what they owe in a reasonable time frame because a lot of the times they are billed as if they are a business item. And so they deserve, all patients deserve to know what their healthcare billing is going to be in a time frame that's not 2, 3, 5, 10 years out.
All right. When we follow up with you later in the session, we'll check on those bills that you're sponsoring. What are some of the bills, regardless of who's sponsoring them, that have been introduced in the legislature that you are particularly interested in or maybe particularly concerned about?
Yeah, so one of them that we will probably be doing second today, and I'm sorry, that's my dog in the background, is looking at expanding durable medical equipment the script process, so that way physicians and OTs can also write that script. It is a bill by one of my Democratic colleagues, seeing the need, though, that especially like in rural areas like she has, like I have, that sometimes people don't get the medical equipment they need for 6, 7 days. And so just by allowing them to also write that script when it's necessary and they are talking with the physicians and the doctors at the same time, it just takes a while to write that script. It just means that patients will get the resources they need sooner. So that is something we will be seeing today on second. Another thing we'll be seeing is trying to change the confinement standards for egg-laying hens. We saw a bill that meant that we in Colorado had to do cage standards for our hens back in 2021, and now our prices in eggs are skyrocketing as it's been implemented this year.
Let's expand on that just a little bit. So is it possible that some of those regulations that just took effect can be modified?
It is, yes. Yeah. So, and we see this a lot. Oftentimes we see in legislation we modify things before they have the time to be enacted. And usually that is not a good thing because we need to allow the system and the people to catch up to what we're doing. However, we also can do it for the better that we are seeing that, you know, we need more affordability in Colorado. Eggs are expensive, and they used to be the cheapest item in the kitchen, along with flour, and arguably maybe even coffee. But now they're one of the most expensive, and so this is something that is that we need to. We've done it in the legislation, and now we need to, and we're seeing the nasty consequences. So this is something we need to kind of fix.
Yeah, interesting. We'll follow that with interest as well. We're visiting with State Representative Dusty Johnson. So what committees have you been assigned to for this session?
Yeah, so I'm on the Agriculture, Water, and Natural Resources Committee, the Health and Human Services Committee, and then the Education Committee. All of these have rural standings. We haven't seen education with rural legislators for a little bit. We've seen health and human services. Both are needed in rural Colorado, as you know. And so I'm excited to be that voice in committee as we are looking at these things and offering a different perspective that a lot of my metro colleagues will not be thinking of.
So the school districts are always interested in what's going on in the legislature when you're in session and how that will impact their budgets. What are some of the main things that are going on education funding-wise in this session?
Yeah, and I do want to point out we do have a constitutional mandate requirement that we need to fully fund education. So we do have that principle, but we also have a lot of these extra curricular activities or a lot of this extra funding that schools have been relying on that we may not have this year. As I'm learning more about the process and realizing just how much education takes one-third of the budget in the state, and that is huge. And so that's obviously one of the places JBC is going to look at to cut because it is a third of the budget. So I know a lot of our superintendents or teachers are biting at the nail. And as much as we do have that constitutional mandate, we need to fund it. Otherwise, I'm going to be a huge proponent of putting it back to local. We're going to see some bills, like I heard about one, that they want to make it a requirement that all school districts have to create a cell phone policy for their schools and have this policy implemented. And I don't think the state has any right or need to come into a school district and put a cell phone policy on them. If that's what you want to do, you know, in any of our communities, that is up to the teacher in the classroom or the school board in that respective district, but not at the state.
Interesting. Yeah, a lot of the local schools have done that at the local level. So that'll be interesting to watch, too. What other rural-related issues do you think you'll have particularly on your radar this session?
Yeah, looking at, because we can't spend, that is what they've been drilling into us, that we don't have money to spend because we're trying to balance the budget. So I do have a capital need for rural and frontier hospital study to look at what resources might be already out there, particularly federal or private partnership opportunities, so that way we can keep our rural and frontier hospitals alive and thriving, and even building partnerships with those that we have respectively in the same county. A lot of our counties out here have two hospitals and figuring out a way that they can work together as opposed to against, so we can use what little resources we do to the best of the ability. Huge. Looking also at a bill with CSU just to take the statutory limit off of their veterinarian program, because we are seeing across the board, we need jobs everywhere. Arguably, we do need more veterinarians, specifically large animals. So it'd be great that if CSU could expand that per what they can do with their teachers, what funding they have, because they are a land-grant university that gets federal funds, allowing them the flexibility to grow as the market grows.
All right. Yeah, those are all interesting issues. We'll look forward to following those through the session. And we really appreciate the update this morning. If people have particular concerns about particular bills or that sort of thing, what's a way they can communicate with you, their representative, during the session?
Yeah, same as it's been. They can text me. They can call me. Government is not efficient, so I am just now finally getting my office phones after almost 2 weeks, but they can call my office number. All of this, I've tried to make as accessible as possible, keeping the same email I've had, which is dustyforcolorado@gmail.com. That is now my professional email, as I know a lot of people are used to using that one. So really, call, text, call the office now that I actually am going to be having an office phone. And visit. If anyone ever wants to visit, happy to get them on the floor, give them a tour. This is the people's house. Or try to get to as many events as I can while in session, still in district.
All right, very good. So do we start finding that information by going to the legislature's website?
Yeah, so yeah, you can either go to that ledge.colorado.gov information. If people have questions, I've put it out there. They can text me and I can send them the link. Still the same cell phone, 970-370-1154. Or you can Google. Just make sure that you're Googling Dusty Johnson, Colorado, as we do have a U.S. Congressman, Dusty Johnson, from South Dakota.
Okay. Well, if we've got concerns with South Dakota issues, we can contact him, I guess.
Yeah, you would be surprised how many people have called me asking about some of the stuff in South Dakota, and vice versa. He has told me they're calling him about things in eastern Colorado.
Okay.
It is an easy mistake, and we will pass off the information for the other one. But just making sure that people don't think they're going crazy that there are two of us out there.
Okay. All right. Well, very good to know. Well, we really appreciate the update this morning. We'll look forward to checking in with you again throughout the session. Thanks very much for your time this morning.
Thank you so much, and I'm already counting down the days before I can be in person again talking with you.
All right. Very good. Thanks very much. State Representative Dusty Johnson, our guest on Northeast Colorado Talks this Friday morning.